everyone out there in internet radio land. This is Blake in San Antonio. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. And today, I was having lunch with my wife at a Mexican restaurant, and she had a massage. She has about one every week, and she told the masseuse that her husband has a radio show called Gods and Goddesses, and said to her, "What kind of a show is that?" Well, it's a show of higher evolution, if you will. Because when I'm talking gods and goddesses, I'm talking about me and you going through that process of evolution, one life after another, on different planets throughout the universe. And the goal, the objective, through that process, which takes a long time, as you can imagine, is to get to where you're evolved enough to be a co-creator God, knowing how to create things like magic, you know? So, in that journey, part of the time you're going to be in a material body, and part of the time you're going to be in a spirit, which is your real self. Just like, take the movie Cocoon, for example, those beings of light, or the movie Ghost is another example. Patrick Swayze, you know, when he was killed by that one guy, he still existed in that form. Just like we are right now, today, the characteristics are very similar. And you know that. It's no big surprise. Now, some people don't think about it a lot. The more you think about it, the more, I would say, evolved you are. That's just the way it is, you know? Doesn't mean I'm better than you, it just means that the higher evolutionary, the higher evolved soul has been around the universe more than others, has had more past lives than others, and this is all stuff that is known, you know? I'm not speaking this for the first time. It's common knowledge, really. On the internet, you talk with people like the Dalai Lama and the things I talk about on my radio show is really common knowledge, like I said. However, changing gears, one thing I do want to talk about, one thing I do want to make happen, if you will, in my lifetime, hopefully, is to have contact with those extraterrestrials out there. Now, I don't know if you heard, recently there was a video on YouTube from the Dalai Lama, you know, very important guy, you know, when it comes to the Asian philosophy, or how would you put it? Everybody knows who the Dalai Lama is. He's like the chief spiritual person over there in Asia, you know, in Tibet, for the Buddhists. And I forget what other religions associated with Buddhism, but he said in this video recently, like within the last week, that he believes there's many other sentient beings besides ourselves, living in the universe. Of course, that is the intelligent thing to think. But it's not only intelligence, it's also the evolutionary status of your soul. If you're a young soul, I'm going to drink water here. You haven't lived that many lives. It could be your first life. If you're an intermediate soul, quite a few. If you're an advanced soul, an old soul, then you've been around the universe a lot. Would Sylvia Brown, the great mystic, the late great mystic and psychic medium, compared to an old soul as a mystic traveler. And so, I'm going to read from a book my favorite book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Because I'm going to now talk about extraterrestrials, kind of segueing from the spirit, talking about life up there in the universe. And I'll do that for the rest of the show, reading from this book, little separate passages. I can read anything from this book. I know it like the back of my hand. I've read it so many times. You should get it. I recommend this book very much. It's my Bible, if you will. It's called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And as I was saying, the universe is broken up into categories of planets on a scale from 1 to 9. So, as I mentioned in previous shows, when you look up into the evening sky, you see the stars out there, right? Lots of stars. There are stars in the southern sky. Southward as you go. But they're really suns, my friend. If you don't know that, well, you will. Because you might think you know everything today, but tomorrow you're going to know even more. Next week, even more than that. You might think you're intelligent today, but next week you're going to be even more intelligent. And if you haven't grasped some of these concepts that I'm talking about, you will. Because I'm talking the truth. And there's only one truth out there. Just think of it. In this world, think of it. In this world, there's only one truth, really. So many different religions. Which one is the truthful religion? The Christians say, we are. The Buddhists say, we are. The Muslims say, we are. And people have gone to war about this in the past. Religions. Because of religion, people have killed each other. So, I'm telling you the truth. The universe is teeming with life. There is life out there. And just like Joel Osteen starts the service, pick up your Bible and say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I believe in it. This is the Word of God. Well, you say so. You know, it is a book, and a book is a book. There's a book. Now, I love the Bible. I think it's probably the greatest account of divine intervention than any other book ever written in the history of this world. But it's still only a book. I don't like to burst the bubble of anybody out there. I don't want to take too much time talking about this because I believe in the Bible. Not everything. Most of it. Not everything. I could go into it, get into debates with people, long drawn out debates that probably wouldn't even come up with a clear winner, you know. People still, they want to believe what they want to believe, even when presented with logic and rationale that is irrefutable, but still, they want to believe what they want to believe. So that's okay. I understand. You're a co-creator, God in the making, and you have that power of belief just like every human being on this planet does. Whether you're right or wrong, you're going to believe what you want to believe. Dancing all over the place here, but I've got this book in front of me and I'm going to read from it. As I was saying, it is my Bible. I love it. Now, some people might say these alien abductions, they're not true. You know, people just make this up because they want to write a book and make a lot of money. Well, you think that, then more than likely you're a younger soul, you know? That's what I think. And like Joel Osteen, getting back to what I'm going off in all these different branches here, I love it. So much to talk about. In 1 hour, it's really not a lot of time. And you should get your own show, really, if you don't already have your own show on BBS Radio. It's a wonderful opportunity to find your voice. You know? So like Joel Osteen starts his show, and I've already begun my show, but let me say this, like I've said many times before, all this life on earth, and you know how many different types of life, different types of bodies, because the creator of the universe is a body maker. Over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds and reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, thousands of different types of trees, flowers, fruits, and vegetables. If you think all that happened by an accident, in other words, no creator, right? Well, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere, up there in the evening sky, any particular sun, star, if you will, you want to look at, over there, anywhere in the universe. I do mean anywhere. If it happened by accident here, it could happen by accident anywhere. But there is a creator who created this life here on earth, who has the power and knowledge to create all those bodies, different types of bodies, insects that fly, that have eyes. The creator is a creator of eyes, my friend. A creator of eyes. Could you create an eye, just a simple little eye, so that a being can see? That's how we're really connected, through our eyes, you know. So not only is the creator a body maker, creator is a creator of eyes, and that's one way the creator, I think part of the original plan of the universe was for the creator to extend himself in many different ways so that he could be in touch with what people see. Kind of like a connection, if you will, a network. Just imagine, you're seeing right now, I'm seeing, I've got eyes that see. The creator created the eyes of a human body and the eyes of a fly body, or a praying mantis body, or an ant body, or a whale body, or a hummingbird body, or a rattlesnake body, or a shark body, or a salamander body. You get my point? Creator is a wonderful creator, endowed with magical powers, be no doubt about that, who has the knowledge and the power to create all this life on earth. If we're going the opposite of it happened by an accident, if the creator has that power and knowledge to create all this life, logically, if you have a logical bone in your body, then you have to admit, you have to agree that that creator has the power and knowledge to create either the same or different life anywhere in the universe, anywhere. Because the creator is also a creator of planets. It's wonderful. So I'm going to read from this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And as I mentioned, the universe is divided up into categories of planets on a scale of 1 to 9. Unfortunately, we are here on planet Earth, otherwise known as the planet of sorrows. This is a lot of sorrow, killing, war in our past. You don't see people walking down the street with big smiles on their face, laughing, joyfully talking to each other, and so happy, 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 happy. No, you don't see that too often. More often it's the opposite, you know, people with frowns on their face, money woes, money problems, health issues, relationship issues. There's war going on, conflict. A man kills a woman and he goes in hiding, you know, a coward. They're trying to find him and he won't come clean. Cowardice in epic proportions throughout the planet. Typical of a lower evolved planet. I can give you 1,000 more examples of our planet being one of the lower evolved planets in the universe. But you have to agree that it's a very beautiful world. All the life and all the vegetation, the plant life, the animal life. If you can go back in time about 500 years, you'll see when all the air and the water hasn't been defiled by the industrial age. There is no pollution. the air or the water, you would see 500 years ago, it was a completely different world, you know. Not so populated, obviously, as it is now. There's not billions of cars driving around, and I'm guilty of it. I guess I could afford an electric car, but I haven't made it happen yet. Spewing, all these cars driving around spewing carbon monoxide into the atmosphere. Oh, the planet was made to handle that. Are you so sure about that? I think you might be wrong. But anyway, I've got this book here, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, otherwise known as the Thaya-Uba Prophecy. Hey, don't you start barking now. Come on. Come out here. No, don't you start barking. One of our dogs just came out. So the neighbors in the next door yard are playing with weights. Anyway, so in this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, a man by the name of Michael Desmarquette, he's French. He lived in Australia. He claims he was abducted and taken to a planet in a Milky galaxy called Uba. And that's another name of the book. They've rewritten it, Thaya-Uba, the Golden Planet, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. And he was there for 10 days because that's the longest time that someone of a lower evolutionary category can spend on a higher evolutionary category planet. I think it was in the late 80s. Michael recently transitioned over to the spirit lands, I think about 2 or 3 years ago. He was a very evolved soul. They did kind of like a regression when he was there on their planet and found out that he already lived like 86 lives. One of the extraterrestrials who took him along with some others from Earth, from the parallel universe, which surrounds our planet here, to their planet, apparently has over 200 past lives. So that evolutionary process, my friends, is a very, very long one. And that's what happens when you spend more time in existence, you know, your spirit, your soul, in that evolutionary process with reincarnation, trips to the, back to the spirit lands, and then being born again on another planet somewhere around the universe, either in our Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy. It's very possible. When you get to heaven, after enjoying the great time there, you know, with all these beautiful souls and spirits who have existed at one time here on planet Earth, and small cultures, famous people, people that you've known, relatives, friends. After spending time with them, and there's so many beautiful people in heaven. I mean, what do they call it, paradise? Because, I mean, you could just think of one person that maybe that you knew who's passed away, and you could spend, like, in our time, days just hanging out with this one person, and all of a sudden, then you say, that are like somebody famous from our past. Maybe Martin Luther King or Kennedy or use your imagination. Anybody from the past who you idolized, adored, emulated, Einstein, Sir Isaac Newton, if you're into physics, you know. All kinds of people throughout our history who have existed, you know, and passed over. You could spend time talking with them. And if you're a man, there's so many beautiful women on the other side. Somebody that you knew before in the past, maybe a famous actress, Hollywood actress, or if you're a woman, a Hollywood actor, Rudolph Valentino, maybe Marilyn Monroe, you know, she's over there in the spirit land. Now, some of these people may have reincarnated or are no longer in the spirit land in heaven. But you think a beautiful soul and spirit, you can talk with them for days, you know, hang out, enjoy the beauty of heaven, eat tree, eat fruit from the tree of life, drink from the river of life, bathe in the river of life to get rid of all those impurities. An amazing thing, water in heaven is real. And you can get into the water, and you can actually go beneath the surface, and you might think, well, I could drown. No, well, you're already dead. Water is a different kind of property in heaven, where you get down deep, deep into the water, look up above, you see the surface of the water, and you're still existing, and you can float in the water, and the colors in heaven are this awesome. And there's all kinds of activities. And you're being called to duties, you know, Mother and Father God are there. And so it's like it's a whole different society, if you will, similar to this one. But everyone has duties and responsibilities and rest too. Rest is a real thing. You know, here on earth, we get, and, you know, but there in heaven, rest is mandatory. You have to be able to rest. Just chill out. Enjoy yourself. And this, as you know, I mean, you get to the spirit lands, you don't have any bodily fluids to worry about, you don't have to sleep. And so, that means that you're very happy and joyful and wonder, hey, I don't have to go to the bathroom all the time. That alone, in and of itself, is something cool, you know. And then, you've got all these different buildings to go into, records of the history of this earth or other planets, and then you can look for your next planet, get all the information you need, you know, about what this planet will offer you as far as hoping to evolve your soul. And you learn all that. There's really no time in heaven. Just stretches on and on. It's like hard to imagine or comprehend. There's no watches, no clocks in heaven. You know what I mean? It's great. And of course, then you have the Mother and Father God. And if you want to get closer to them, which is an experience in and of itself, then you have to be able to withstand their glory and their brilliance. And that all depends on how evolved you yourself are. I mentioned this before in other shows. You have a light that shines. Your soul shines with light. The object is for you to increase your light while you're here on earth. You understand that concept? You should be able to. So, by the time you die, far in the future, whether you're 80 years old or 100 years old, hopefully, you know, you're not pulled away before then, when you do transition to the spirit lands, then your soul will be brighter than it was when you were born into this planet. And so when you get to heaven, you walk around, heaven, spirit land, same thing, okay? And you wear these robes they give you, you know, white robes, clean, pure white, and you shine with a light. And then you might come face to face with Jesus who died on the cross, or one of the disciples, or the Apostle Paul, or some of the patriarchs of the Bible, and they shine with a very, very bright light. King David, one of the ultimate praise masters in heaven. But when you get closer to the Mother and Father God, and Jesus too, then their glory and brilliance washes over you like a hurricane, force winds, for lack of a better way of describing it. Do you know what I mean? Their glory and their brilliance, their light is so powerful. It's like looking into the sun, you know, with your eyes. It's hard to withstand. So I encourage you, it behooves us all to develop yourself as spiritually as possible before that one day you do make that transition, and there's no guarantee. It could be many years far into the future or just tomorrow. Same with me. You know, I'm in the same boat. So that's why one of the things I do to develop myself spiritually is have my own radio show. And I'm going to read from this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. As I said, it's one of my favorite books. One of the parts I like is when he's taken to their planet, on board their spaceship, which is circular in design, approximately 70 meters in diameter, and it can go interdimensional. You know, as I mentioned, there's a parallel universe around that's accessible from our planet. In other words, alongside the material universe, the physical universe. And that's how some of these ETs can travel from A to B, you know, from one point in the universe to somewhere else in a very quick fashion, because Einstein was right when in his theory of special relativity, he said nothing is faster than the speed of light, which is true in the material universe, you know. So if you have a spaceship that's capable of getting close to the speed of light, then, and it's usually propelled by electromagnetic or anti-gravity mechanisms, when it gets up to that speed, the speed of light, then also in accordance with Einstein's theory, and he was a brilliant man, no doubt about it, he racked his brain for many years to come up with those theories, and just the writers of the Bible were inspired, and I think Einstein was inspired too. Does it need to be found out, you know, like splitting the atom? That usually happens during the evolution of a particular planet and a species. But anyway, when a spacecraft reaches the speed of light, there's so much pressure coming in it from the outside, you know, because in accordance with that theory, mass begins to contract. So all that pressure from getting close to the speed of light can be absorbed by the spacecraft, converted into pure energies, which allow to then make that transition into the other dimension, the parallel universe. And of course, the people, the ascension beings inside the spacecraft have to be able to withstand the molecular breakdown and restructuring of their molecules during that process. So they usually have a kind of a spacesuit on. They might also ingest a little fluid to help in that process. So they and their spacecraft in that transition from the material to the fourth dimensional universe, the parallel universe, requires that breakdown of the molecular structure, and then the restructuring of it when they transition back into the material universe. It's kind of hard to understand. Also, electrical stimulation or some kind of powder, some unique way. I read about it one time in a book, I guess maybe it's sufficient to say that through electrical stimulation and also application of heat, it aids in that process to travel from one dimension to the other for the beings inside the spacecraft and the spacecraft itself, which is usually created out of part plant matter and other materials, metals, which are indigenous to the solar system that these beings come from. Anyway, so Michael Desmarquette, and he's a funny author, and he wrote this book. The man, as I mentioned, he has a lot of past lives, and he had a brilliant man, incredible author, a really interesting read, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or Thaouba, the Golden Planet. You can find it on Amazon. And let me see if I can find that exact time where he lands on their planet. It's really cool. I'm sorry I didn't do this in advance. Just bear with me, please. Delving into the Sacred Spirit. Under the Moon and Destroy Island. I gotta find the chapter, and then I can. Okay. The Golden Planet, page 78. The Golden Planet. Okay, here we go. Thayo, T-H-A-O, is one of the extraterrestrials. On this particular planet, they are hermaphrodite. They're both men, kind of like transgender. Approximately 9 feet tall. And they have beautiful hair. Well, they're huge, like plants. Of course, they're extremely intelligent. I can't say enough about how intelligent they are, and evolved, highly evolved too. So their planet Thayalupa is also called the Golden Planet because being a Category 9 planet, on the other end of the scale, Earth, you know, we are Category 1, which means the lowest on the evolutionary scale, a lot of war and killing, you know, a lot of young souls, old souls, maybe like me. I think I am. I can't prove it, but we come back and we help. And I mentioned before, Sylvia Brown called the Mystic Travelers. Let's say I reach maybe a Category 6 or 7 on the scale in my process of evolution. And all of a sudden, there's a very important mission for me on a planet of a lower evolutionary category. So you go back to help other people. I'm not the only one. There's many out there that do that to help our fellow souls, you know, because we're all in this together. You know, it's like having a brother and sister or sister who's in a lower grade in school, you know, say that maybe you're in the 8th grade and they're in 5th grade, or you're in the 10th grade and they're in the 2nd grade. And it doesn't mean you're better than them. It just means that you've had more schooling than they have. You've been alive longer than they have. It's the same with the soul. The soul's been in existence longer than another soul, and obviously that soul has more experience and has gained more knowledge than someone who doesn't have that much time as a soul, you know. So let me read in this book. I go to another one of her dogs came out. So this planet Thayalupa, it's like a veritable paradise. It's as close to heaven in the material universe as you can get. They call it a golden planet because the atmosphere is like got fine gold dust particles in the atmosphere. Everything's so much brighter than here on Earth. Colors are more intense. You and I couldn't endure it without a special mask, like he wore it one time, Michael wore. And everything's clean, clear, pristine, pure. The air isn't polluted, or the water. Animals don't eat each other. It's a whole different ball game, my friends, on some other planets. And technologically and spiritually, they're one of the three most advanced in our Milky Way galaxy. Go figure. So they're landing, and the plan is for him to spend some time there. They're going to show him around, talk to him, inform him, educate him on some of the ways of the universe, and then he's going to come back. The goal is for him to come back and write this book and share that knowledge with anyone who's willing to read it, you know, and learn from it. Of course, as I mentioned before, there are the naysayers who never believed, you know. They always take the opposite stance, no matter what, even when presented with irrefutable logic. But that's a good thing in a way, I see, because they help us believe more, you know, and strengthen our faith. So let me read from this book. As Thayo was winding up her narrative, my attention was drawn to lights of different colors, which had lit up near her seat, inside the spacecraft, that is. When she had finished talking, she made a gesture. On one of the walls of the room, there was a series of letters and numbers, which Thayo examined attentively. Then the lights went out and the image disappeared. "Thayo," I said, "you spoke just now of hallucination or collective illusion. I have trouble understanding how you can delude thousands of people. Isn't it charlatanism? Just as when an illusionist or on stage fools the crowd with a dozen more or less chosen subjects." Thayo smiled again. "You're right in a certain sense, for it is extremely rare these days on your planet, and especially on stage, to find the true illusions. I must remind you that we are experts in all manner of psychic phenomena, Michael. And for us, it is quite easy because At that moment, a shock of extraordinary violence shook the spacecraft. Thio looked at me with horrified eyes. Her whole face had completely changed, and one could read in it sheer terror. With a dreadful cracking sound, the vessel split into several pieces, and I heard screams from astronauts as we were all hurtled into space. Thio had grabbed hold of my arm, and we were flung through the sidereal emptiness at a giddying speed. I realized only because of the speed we were traveling that we were about to cross paths with a comet, exactly like the one we had passed by several hours earlier. I felt Thio's hand in my arm, but didn't even think to turn my head in her direction. I was literally mesmerized by the comet. We were going to collide with its tail. That was certain. And already, I could feel the terrible heat. The skin on my face was ready to burst. It was the end. "Are you okay, Michael?" asked Thio gently from her seat. I thought I was going mad. I was sitting opposite her in the same seat where I had listened to her account of the first man on Earth. "Are we dead or mad?" I asked. "Neither, Michael. There is a saying on your planet that a picture is worth a thousand words. You asked me how we were able to delude crowds of people. I replied immediately by creating an illusion for you. I realized I should have chosen a less frightening experience, but the subject is a very important one in this case." "It's fantastic! I never would have believed that it could happen like that, and so suddenly. It was so very real, the whole scenario. I don't know what to say. The only thing I ask of you is not to frighten me like that again. Besides, I could die of fright." "Not at all. Our physical bodies were in our seats, and we were simply separated out. Let's call them astropsychic bodies from our physical ones and from our other bodies." "What other bodies?" "All the others. The physiological, the psychotypical, the astral, and so on. Your astropsychic body was separated from the others by a telepathic system originating in my brain, which acts, in this case, like a transmitter. A direct correlation is established between my astropsychic body and yours. All that I imagined was projected in your astropsychic body exactly as if it was happening. The only thing is, not having time to prepare you for the experience, I had to be very cautious." "What do you mean?" "Well, when you create an illusion, the subject or subjects should be prepared to see what you want them to see. For example, if you want people to see a spaceship in the sky, it is important that they are expecting to see one. If they expect to see an elephant, they will never see the spaceship. Thus, with the right words and cleverly controlled suggestions, the crowd will unite around you in an anticipation of seeing a spaceship, a white elephant, or the Virgin of Fatima, a typical case of the phenomenon on Earth. It would have to be easier with a single subject than with 10,000. "Not at all. On the contrary, with several people, a chain reaction is produced. You release the astropsychic bodies of the individuals, and when you put the procedure in motion, they telepathize among themselves. It's a bit like the famous domino lines. When you make the first one fall, all the others must fall right down to the last one. So it was a very easy game with you. Since you left Earth, you have remained more or less anxious. You don't know what will logically happen next. I took advantage of this typical case of conscious or unconscious fear that is always present when one travels in a flying machine, the fear of exploding or crashing. Then, as you had seen the comet on the screen, why not use it too? Rather than cook your face as you approach the comet, I could have made you cross the tail believing it to be frozen. In all, you could have driven me insane. Not in such a short time, but that'd have lasted more than 5 minutes. No more than 10 seconds, just as in a dream, or should I say a nightmare, which occurs, by the way, in approximately the same manner. For example, you are sleeping and you begin to dream. You're in a field with a wonderful white stallion. You approach to catch him, but each time you try, he runs away. After 5 or 6 attempts, which take time, of course, you leap on the horse's back and begin to gallop and gallop. Faster and faster you go, and you are happily intoxicated by the speed. The stallion gallops so fast that he no longer touches the ground. He is airborne, and the countryside passes beneath you, river, plains, and forests. It is truly wonderful. Then a mountain appears on the horizon, looming taller and taller as you approach. You have to rise higher with difficulty. The horse flies up and up. It is almost over the highest peak when his shoe strikes a rock, unbalancing you so that you fall down and down, and you go into a chasm that seems to have no end, and you find you've fallen out of bed on the floor. No doubt you're going to tell me this dream lasts only a few minutes. It would have lasted 4 seconds. The dream started as though, from a certain point, you wound back a film on video and then watched it. I know it's difficult to comprehend, but in this particular dream, all would have begun at the moment you lost your balance in bed. Now I'm going to go forward a little bit in the book. It talks about the four forces of the universe, the Supreme Creator, put into effect in the creation of the universe. I'm going to talk about this, and then hopefully if I have time, I'll talk about them landing on the planet. This is really cool, this part here. In the beginning, there was nothing except darkness and a spirit, the spirit. The spirit was and is infinitely powerful. Imagine that, my friends, infinitely powerful. I'm talking about the Supreme Creator of the universe. Powerful beyond the comprehension of any human mind. The Spirit is so powerful that he was able, he or she, able by the action of his or her will alone, to trigger an atomic explosion with chain reactions of unimaginable force. In fact, the Spirit imagined the worlds. He imagined how to create them, from the most enormous to the most minuscule. I had to let one of our dogs back in. He imagined the atoms. When he imagined them, I'm saying he, it's really he and she, because the Creator of the universe is both male and female. But for the purposes of reading this book, the Creator is he. When he imagined them, he created in his imagination all that moved and will move, all that lived and will live, all that is motionless or seemed to be, every single thing. But it existed only in his imagination. All was still in darkness. Once he had an overall view of what he wanted to create, he was able, by his exceptional spiritual force, to create instantaneously the four forces of the universe. With these, he directed the first and the most gigantic atomic explosion of all time, what certain people on Earth call the Big Bang. The Spirit was at its center and induced it. Darkness was gone, and the universe was creating itself according to the will of the Spirit. The Spirit was thus, is still, and always will be, at the center of the universe, for he is the master and creator of it. Well then, I interrupted, this is the story of God, as the Christian religion teaches it, or just about. I never believed in their nonsense. Michael, I speak of no religion such as exists on Earth, and especially not the Christian religion. Don't confuse religions with the creation and the simplicity of all that ensued. Don't confuse logic with the logical distortions of religions. We will have the opportunity to talk again later on this subject. and you are certainly in for some surprises. For the moment, I was trying to explain the creation to you. During billions of years, for the Creator, of course, is eternally the present, but it is more at the level of our understanding to count by billions of years. All the worlds, suns, and atoms were formed, as you are taught in schools, the planets revolving around their suns, and sometimes with their own satellites, etc. At certain times in certain solar systems, some planets cool down, soil is formed, rocks solidify, oceans are formed, and land masses become continents. Finally, these planets become habitable for certain forms of life. All this was in the beginning, in the imagination of the spirit. We can call this first force the atomic force. At this stage, by his second force, he conceived the primary living creatures and many of the primary plants from which later derived the subspecies. The second force we will call the ovocosmic force, as these creatures and plants were created by simple cosmic rays, which ended up with cosmic eggs. At the very beginning, the spirit imagined experiencing feelings through a special creature. He had imagined man by means of the third force that we will call the ovostromic force. Thus man was created. Have you ever considered, Michael, what intelligence it took to create a human being or even an animal? Blood that circulates thanks to the heart that beats millions of times independently of the will. Lungs that purify the blood by means of a complex system. The nervous system, the brain, which gives the orders, aided by the five senses, the spinal cord, which is ultra-sensitive, and which will make you instantly withdraw your hand from a hot stove so you won't burn yourself, the 1/10 of a second it would have taken the brain to issue the order to prevent your hand from being burned. Have you ever wondered why, that of the billions of individuals on a planet like yours, there are no two fingerprints the same, and why, when we call the crystalline of the blood, is just as unique among individuals as the fingerprint. Your experts and technicians on Earth and on other planets have tried and still tried to create a human body. Have they succeeded? In regards to the robots they have made, not even the most highly perfected will ever be more than a vulgar machine in comparison with the human mechanism. To go back to the crystalline I mentioned just now, it is best described as a certain vibration particular to the blood of each individual. It has nothing to do with the blood group. Various religious sects on Earth believe absolutely in the rightness of refusing blood transfusions. Their reasons relate to the teachings and books of their religious teachings and their own interpretations of these, whereas they should look to the real reason, which is the impact different vibrations have on each other. If it is a large transfusion, it can have an influence on the recipient to a degree and for a length of time, which varies according to the volume of the transfusion. This influence, of course, is never dangerous. After a time, which never exceeds 1 month, the vibration of the recipient's blood takes over, leaving no trace of the vibrations of the donor's blood. It shouldn't be forgotten that these vibrations are much more than a feature of the physiological and fluidic body than that of the physical body. Let me go forward a little bit. How am I doing on time? Let me see. Almost time, my friends. I wanted to read the part where they're coming down in their spaceship. Here it goes. What captivated me most was the color before me. I was dazzled. He's talking about the colors of the planet. All the colors were, in each tonal variation, more vivid than ours. A bright green, for example, almost shone. It radiated color. A dark green had the opposite effect. It kept its color. It is extremely difficult to describe, for the colors on this planet could not be compared with any that exist on Earth. A red could be recognized as red, but it wasn't the red we know. My attention was soon drawn to what looked on the screen like eggs. Yes, eggs. I could see the ground dotted with eggs, some half covered with vegetation and others quite bare. Some seemed bigger than others, some lay down. Others were upright with what looked like the pointed end toward the sky. I was so astonished by this sight that I turned again towards Sayo to ask her about these eggs, when suddenly on the screen there appeared a round form surrounded by several spheres of different sizes, and slightly further away, yet more eggs. These ones were enormous. I recognized the spheres to be space vessels just like ours. Affirmative, said Sayo from her seat. And the round form you see is the cell in which our spacecraft will be accommodated in a few minutes, for we are in the process of docking. And the gigantic eggs? What are they? Sayo smiled. Buildings, Michael. But just now there is something more important that I must explain to you. Our planet contains many surprises for you, but there are two which could have harmful effects on you. I must, therefore, ensure that you take certain elementary precautions. Thiouba does not have the same gravitational force as your planet. Your weight would be 70 kilograms on Earth. Here it will be 47 kilograms. When you leave the spacecraft, if you aren't careful, you risk losing your sense of equilibrium in your movements and your reflexes. You'll be inclined to take too great a stride and perhaps fall and injure yourself. But I don't understand. In your spacecraft, I feel fine. We have related the internal gravitational pull to correspond with that of Earth, or almost. Then you must be extremely uncomfortable, for you must weigh about 60 kilograms more than your normal weight, given your size. It's true that under this force, our bodies are heavier, but we have counterbalanced this by a semi-levitation. Thus, we are not uncomfortable, and at the same time, we have the satisfaction of seeing you move among us at ease. A slight jolt indicated we had docked. This extraordinary trip was over. I was going to put my foot on another planet. I'll stop there, my friends. That's the book, Abducted to the Ninth Planet, or Thiouba, the Golden Planet. It is an incredible read. You will learn much, much great knowledge, which will be beneficial to anybody in their spiritual development and evolution. Simply put, there's so many things that I've learned from that book that now forms my reality system today. And there are other books too that I have read and still read today, books about heaven. But the books that I read about extraterrestrials and life out there in the universe, and there might be some extraterrestrials listening in to me right now, very interested perhaps in what I have to say. I wonder what they think about me. Do they know the whole picture? Do they know all about me? My past? Do they know about my soul? So, my friends, just like Dalai Lama, I only have a minute or two left here. Like the Dalai Lama said in that YouTube video, you should check it out, about sentient beings. They're just like us. Only different. Just like we are different from a whale, or a fly, or a snake, or a dog, or a tiger. They're different. They have different eyes, because they're indigenous to the planet where they live. They were born on that planet. And it's easy to understand, my friends, that they existed before we did. We are in a spiral arm, an outward spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And as I mentioned, the universe was created with a big bang and began forming itself from the center outwards billions of years ago. So now that we've established through logic that there is life out there, then you can imagine that there was life in that first solar system that was created. Either by accident or, let me go there, which didn't happen by accident, but if you want to go the atheist route, it happened by accident, but the truth is there is a creator, and the creator created life in the first solar system, and the one after that, just maybe not as we know it. So some of these extraterrestrials, they've been traveling around space for hundreds of millions of years, even before our solar system was created. Come on now. So I have 30 seconds, my friends. Go ahead. I encourage you to connect with the Supreme Creator of the Universe. Go out there tonight and just call on him. Creator of the Universe, are you out there? I pray that the Creator of the Universe will bless us and help us in our evolution on our planet. Bless us, everybody. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.